A lesson this morning is out of Proverbs 3:13-20, valuing God's fixed moral order for the surpassing quality of life that it produces. A maturing teen or a young adult who is about to launch out into the adult world obviously wants to attain a fulfilling life, to enjoy a high quality of life and thus be happy. Generally, many young adults believe that having money or living a long life or being famous and having possessions so that they can live in comfort and security with few problems comprise that quality of life. That's how they would define it. Well, Proverbs 3:13-20, wisely constructed by Solomon to appeal to young princes in the Egyptian spoliate format, reveals that alignment with God's fixed moral order provides a surpassing quality of life in view of these ideals by young adults and maturing teens. And indeed, he puts a very interesting commentary on it all. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer before we get into his word. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of gathering together. We thank you for the opportunity of fellowship with you around the word of God. We ask for wisdom that we might utilize this information and apply it in our hearts and lives wisely. For effectiveness, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let me read the verses and then we'll look at them. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13-20. Happy is the man, oh, the happiness is literally of the man that finds wisdom, or chachma, and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you can desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retains her. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, and by understanding he has established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. All right. Valuing God's fixed moral order for the surpassing quality of life it produces. Solomon wrote that if one finds wisdom, that's the Hebrew word chachmah, or alignment with God's fixed moral order, and if he gains understanding of that order, he is blessed or happy. The Hebrew word is asherei, and the literal expression is, oh, the happinesses of, or oh, the fulfillment of, etc. Now, this blessed happiness involves a surpassing quality of life as described in Proverbs 3:14-20 as follows. Though wealth is often thought of to be a key to producing happiness, wealth often fails to bless, as teaches Ecclesiastes chapter 5:10-12. Let me just stop and read that passage because it sets up the Proverbs 3 passage and the point that it is trying to make with tremendous force. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10 says, "He that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver." And how true that is. I've heard of people, they thought, you know, I'll be happy if I become a millionaire. Once they become a millionaire, they say, well, maybe when I become a billionaire. So they become billionaires. I think I need to be a multi-billionaire. So they become multi-billionaires. And then they're not happy unless they get $100 billion. So they get $100 billion. And it just keeps going. And after a while, they realize that money is not tied in and having lots of money. And verse 10, "He that loves silver shall not be satisfied with it. Nor he that loves abundance with increase, this is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is it to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not allow him to sleep." Of course, that's taking the pessimistic view. But the implication is if you're looking to wealth alone for your happiness, it's a very hollow happiness. There's no question about it. But this is not the case with chachma, or aligning with God's fixed moral order. Chachma is more profitable than silver. It brings a higher yield, literally, than gold. That's what the word in the King James, it's merchandise. It means it brings a higher yield than gold. And it's more precious than rubies. Gold has topped $1,500 an ounce. I don't know if you know that. There are a lot of people that bought into it when it was around $300, $400 an ounce, and it's gone through the roof. Well, the terminology here is the quality of life is better than anything investors gain by investing with silver, gold, or rubies. So it's very, very true. We need to inform the young, especially those who are maturing adults and growing teens and so forth, that gold, silver, rubies, and let's talk about investing in commodities like oil and coffee. In fact, they say the coffee's got a peak here. It hasn't peaked yet. They think there's going to be a shortage on coffee. And chocolate is going to be another commodity they think is going to be short. Well, wisdom, the wisdom of God, is better than investing in coffee and oil, and chocolate, silver, and gold. In fact, I read in Barron's yesterday, I got some free issues of Barron's sent my way, and they said Barron's said that they think there's going to be a crash in silver. Silver's peaked and it's going to go down. Who knows? Nobody knows. Well, anyway, Proverbs 3:15 claims that nothing one can desire can compare with the fulfillment that Chokmah provides. And Solomon thus returns to personify God's fixed moral order as a desirable woman to a young prince who would have as his spouse. He's trying to motivate the young to go after this Chokmah. In regards to investing, I've shared this before, but I have found that my returns on giving to the Lord have always outstripped the returns that I get on investing, even in the stock market. That's very interesting how the Lord works that out. I invested one time some money specifically. I was thinking of giving to the church, and the Lord allowed that to grow dramatically. And when I used that money to give to the Lord, the amount of money that I got in return far outstripped the growth that I got in the stock market to give that particular money itself to the Lord. So it's very interesting. Wisdom, following God's route, is by far the best route to take, even financially. And then three, what God's Chokmah thus richly offers, as seen in Lady Wisdom's offering them in both hands, is long life in her right hand, and that's the right hand of ability, and riches and honor in her left hand as a bonus. Normally the left hand is seen as the weaker hand and the right hand is the hand of strength, because most people are right-handed. So if it gives long life in the right hand, that's the first and the most important issue. But along with this long life are riches and honor. It's interesting, when Solomon was asked by the Lord what he wanted in his reign, he asked the Lord for wisdom so that he might lead the people of Israel aright. And God said, you know, I really appreciate that you didn't ask for fame or riches, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw in riches and fame. I'm going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you riches and fame like nobody's ever had, because I'm trying to motivate people to go after my wisdom. So it's very interesting how the Lord blessed him that way. Now, besides, Lady Wisdom's ways of providing abundantly long life, riches, and honor are themselves pleasant, in great contrast to those who seek or even gain long life, riches, and honor apart from wisdom in ways that leave them struggling with pain and discomfort. The first part of verse 17 says, her ways, that's the wisdom of God, her ways are of ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Yesterday, my daughter and I were out, and she made a purchase on a car, a used car. It's a real nice, pretty car. It's going to replace her other one that's older. It's a 2005 Civic and so forth. And we were doing business there with a man. And I kind of helped Joanne. She had asked my help. And so I picked out, I thought this would be a good situation. It had, had only 64,000 miles on it, a warranty for 28,000, 2 years. It seemed like a good, it was aftermarket warranty, but nevertheless good. Well, it was very interesting, after we'd finished the negotiations and he shook my hand, the man who sold me says, nice job, Dad. And by that, he was complimenting in regards to my daughter, Joanne, and how she interacted with him and did the business and whatnot. And that is very rewarding to hear. This is another businessman. And so it's neat how, if you follow the Lord provides not only the blessings of providing for the wealth that you need, not only providing for the long life and the health and so forth, but there's pleasantness that goes with it. It does bring a lot of heartache. Now, in addition, Lady Wisdom's paths are, I've already mentioned that. In fact, Lady Wisdom is a tree of life. Now, a tree is something that is a perpetual source of blessing relative to long life, riches, and honor for all who heed God's fixed moral order and those who firmly stick with applying God's fixed moral order in their lives. They're called blessed as a result of this perpetual fulfillment. Verse 18, she's a tree or a source of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retains her. So it's very important to keep this in mind. There is a perpetual source of blessing that is relative to long life. In other words, God provides blessings throughout life. It's not something you always have to wait for in the distant future. It's something that is nearby, it is close. However, going even beyond providing a perpetual surpassing quality of life, aligning with God's fixed moral order causes one to overcome unhappy failure to gain wholesomeness. Verses 19 and 20, the Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding he has established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. Now God then utilized this Hakmah, his alignment to his fixed moral order in creating the universe. Now a central part of that creative activity was God's overcoming a chaotic state of what began as a formless and an empty earth. If I go back to Genesis chapter 1, we see this. It's a very familiar passage, but it's always worth looking at because you have to put everything in Scripture in context of what happens at the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth, this is describing what the earth was like at the beginning. Now the earth was without form and void, or is empty. In other words, it was formless and empty. It didn't have a separated sea from the land. It didn't have sky and so forth, as we know it. It didn't have the firmament. And on top of that, it was empty. You didn't have any sea life. There was nothing on the land. There were no birds to fly in the heavens. None of that. So that's how God began the earth. But out of that, God then formed the land. He formed the seas and the heavens. And then after he formed them, then he filled them with life forms and stellar bodies to make a wholesome universe. If you read Genesis 1, God separates the waters and the land. Then he separates the different types of waters, the atmosphere, and then he creates the stellar universe that's out there. And then he fills the land with plant life and animal life and bugs and creeping things and so forth, large fish and in the seas and so forth, and then he fills it finally with man. And we look at the nature around us and we think, man, this is wonderful. You go out onto the moon and everything is bleak. It's nothing. But here on the earth, you've got this abundant life, especially springtime with things popping out, tulips coming out of the ground, daffodils. It's gorgeous because we see there's a harmonious whole. It wasn't always this way. When the earth started off, it was like a great big mud pie. There was a mixture of water and the earth. They were jumbled together. There was darkness over everything. There was nothing. So if God so utilized his Hakmah to create a wholesome universe out of what had been a chaotic, formless, and empty start, then if we align with God's fixed moral order in our lives, doing so will aid our own victory over the unwholesome effects of a world badly affected by chaos-inducing sin. 120 years ago, where I grew up in Nigeria, West Africa, was known as the white man's graveyard. And when the first missionaries, the SIM that my parents went to Africa with, the Sudan Interior Mission, when they first went out to Nigeria, Reverend Bingham and Kent and so forth, they were young men, they were in their 20s. They talked to some missionaries who were in Lagos, Nigeria, about going into the interior of Sudan. And one of the missionaries there said, you won't live to see the interior. Your children and grandchildren might. All right? Well, they went into the interior. And Kent lost his life. He died of malaria outside of a town by the name of Aloran. Well, what's interesting, many years later, my father was actually building buildings in the area of Aloran. And that's where I was growing up. And I went to Kent Academy, the school that was named after Kent, who died when he was in his 20s because of malaria. And that was in the interior of Nigeria. So I actually grew up where they said it was a white man's graveyard. Now there are 7,000 Bible-teaching, gospel-preaching churches in that area, scattered across. Very sound people in an area that had been known as a white man's graveyard. How did that come about? 120 years of a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, let me tell you that. But it was because of the wisdom of God that was applied and utilized There were situations where women would practice birth control by taking the newborn babies out and leaving them out for the hyenas to eat, because that's the only way they knew how to practice birth control. The missionaries came along and said, "Don't you know that's murder? You can't do that." So they stopped that. And they have found that the average height of the Nigerian has grown 6 inches in 2 generations because of health. The health has been improved because missionaries developed dispensaries throughout that area. And they're eating better. They're taking vitamin supplements and so forth. They're actually 6 inches taller than their grandparents. So there's been health benefits. There has been spiritual benefits. And there are numerous Africans who are now very well educated in basic medical technology. A lot of, they would qualify as EMTs probably in this country if they took the tests and so forth, because of the trainings that the missionaries have given them out there with dispensaries. And it's done a lot to curb leprosy, ringworm, all sorts of maladies that affected people. So God's wisdom makes a dramatic difference. And we've seen the dramatic difference of occur over the years here at Nipog Church. We've seen lives that have been transformed. Why? It's because of the wisdom of God. So it's really worth selling young people on wisdom. Align yourself and your life and your thinking with the wisdom of God. So the lesson is, the maturing teen, the young adult, and even all adults must realize that aligning with God's fixed moral order not only offers a quality of fulfillment that surpasses what long life, riches, and honor without wisdom offers, it also wonderfully creates wholesomeness out of the chaotic failures of sin. So may we be motivated and motivate others to heed God's fixed moral order for blessing. And may we be encouraged and encourage others to address sin's chaotic effects with God's chokmah. That's the Hebrew word for wisdom. A number of years ago, there was a lady in our church that brought a woman to visit me. She was dying of leukemia. And this Christian had tried witnessing the gospel to this lady and had been unsuccessful. But this woman was desperate. She wanted to know for sure that she could go to heaven even though she was dying of leukemia. So she came into my office and spoke. And we talked with her and clarified some issues. And she apparently made a commitment to Christ, trusting Christ as her Savior. And her life was transformed, even though I think she had about a month left to live. And she went out. You can believe it or not, she died a very joyful woman, which was unusual. But it was a remarkable testimony to her family around her. And she was never well enough to be able to come and to attend our services. But what a change occurred in her life. So I've seen this happen. I've seen lives transformed. It's because of the chokmah of God. So may we be motivated. And may we motivate others to heed God's fixed moral order for blessing. And may we be encouraged, encourage others to address sin's chaotic effects with God's chokmah. And you know what's so amazing about it? It's free. It doesn't cost a penny, the wisdom of God. And yet it's the most valuable thing. It's more valuable than riches, long life, and so forth, because it provides all those as an afterthought. It's just, if we can motivate, especially the young who are starting out in their lives, to give their lives to the wisdom of God that is provided in His Word under the power of the Holy Spirit, their lives will be so much happier, so much more fulfilling than if they don't. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on this particular subject or one of the subjects that we've talked about this morning.